All right. Episode 764 with Sylvie Belchansky is brought to you by Molecular Hydrogen from AquaCure. Relax Far Infrared Sauna, Lifeblood's Methylene Blue, and MitoLife's systemic enzyme called Dissolve It All. And I'll link those below. And I just want to give a little caveat to today's show. This was a little bit different in terms of how we started, because we were talking for probably 15 minutes before we started recording. And I didn't want to break up that, and I didn't know what to do, and I didn't want to take up all of our time. So I just started I hit record as she was talking about the breast cancer conference that she's going to have in Florida in October of 2023. And so that's what she's talking about when we initially open up the recording. But to give her a proper introduction, Sylvie Belchansky is the author of the book, Winning the War on Cancer. I'll link it below. I'm on chapter 9 or 7, I forget. Amazing book. Definitely read that book. And also The Cancer's Cause, Cancer's Cure by Dr. Morton Walker. You have to read those two books. But right now, she's the vice president of the Belchansky Foundation, and she's committed to continuing the research of her father, the French biochemist, Dr. Mirko Belchansky. And we get into his legacy and what happened to him in this episode. And here's a little quote that I'd like to read to you from Michelle Kagan. It says here, Dr. Mirko Belchansky took a view of cancer that no one had ever seen before. When he looked at carcinogens, substances that stimulate cancer cells but not healthy cells, he realized that there must be some substances that act in the opposite way, substances that would destabilize cancer cells but leave the healthy cells alone. With this brilliant new concept, Belchansky tried to change the way we treat cancer patients. That was more than 20 years ago, and the mainstream still hasn't caught on. So a breakdown of the work of Dr. Mirko Belchansky, so you have some context when we start the interview, is that the cancer DNA or DNA becomes destabilized, and the hydrogen bonds that hold the DNA together actually break. And when these DNA break, they cause the replication of cells incorrectly. And that is the cause of cancer. And they've been able to isolate 4 molecules that seem to be able to repair and prevent this destabilization from occurring. So that's their kind of approach. And I really hope you enjoy the show. We did answer some patron questions, which are, what is the best cancer test? What causes destabilization? And what would help with breast cancer? And can I take these substances with chemo? And should I tell my doctor about them? And do you have any studies that I can show my doctor of these substances? And what is the difference between golden leaf and green leaf ginkgo? And what are your thoughts on skin cancer topicals and colon cancer? So we talk a lot about that, as well as prevention, a protocol for prevention if you have had cancer, or if you're cancer-free, but you just want to prevent it from showing up, and working with practitioners and all of that stuff. So this was episode 764. I'll put everything I talked about at extremehealthradio.com/764. Enjoy the show. Sorry, Sylvie, you're just saying so many great things that I just wanted to record this.
Yes.
Yeah. No, go. Keep going. Keep going, please.
So as long as we have not solved the problem of cancer stem cells, people will have always this fear in their mind. Am I going to relapse? What happens? I mean, it's 2 years, it's 3 years, it's 5 years. But sometimes we see, you know, a relapse after 10 or 20 years. So because all those stem cells have not been destroyed, and sometimes you can keep the cancer silent for many years. But as long as we have not completely know that we are not done with the cancer stem cells, it may come back. So we are very, very excited both with this event that we are going to create in Jacksonville, Florida, and the research program it is going to promote and hopefully to fund.
Gosh, you know what? I don't know if I told you on email, but I'm on chapter, I think, 9 of your book, Winning the War on Cancer. And that's where you start talking about your own health issues with heavy metals and doing chelation therapy, you know?
Yes.
But I have to say, so I read your book, or I read the book, Cancer's Cause, Cancer's Cure. And that will blow your mind. Amazing book. I recommend everyone to get that. And then I just had to read your book, Winning the War on Cancer. And that gives a little bit of a personal background as to what was going on with you when all this stuff was going on with your father, yes. Which is a really great book. But you have to feel really, because you're traditionally trained as a lawyer. This wasn't your chosen career, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a French lawyer. I know nobody's perfect, but that's what it is. It is in fact because I was confronted with what the French government did, and I had access to the legal file, and I saw this order to destroy evidence that the products were working, that that's something was really, in me, I really reacted to that. I said, no, this is not, should not be allowed. This is not over my dead body.
Right, right.
It's not going to happen. And then the second question immediately was, but destroy evidence of what? And little by little, I understood that what my father had found, it was a number of natural products that are able to inhibit the growth of cancer cells without touching healthy cells, meaning without they are selective, no side effects, no toxicity on healthy cells, and that was very, very disturbing for pharmaceutical companies. And also for the French government, which was in bed with them.
Oh, yeah. And you get into that in the book, and I would highly recommend everyone read the book, Winning the War on Cancer. And what I'll do is I'll put a link to the two books I read, the Cancer's Cause, Cancer's Cure, and Winning the War on Cancer down below. But I wanted to ask you, so the work of your father really gets into this idea of the DNA of the cancer being destabilized. And he makes a distinction that there's a difference between a cancer being destabilized or there being a mutagenic type gene. And he also talks about in the book, you know, what causes the DNA to become destabilized. And essentially, what he talks about is the hydrogen bonds that connect the two rungs of the ladder with the rungs in the middle become broken. And as a result of that, it becomes destabilized. But can you touch a little bit more on this idea of destabilization so people know more about that?
Indeed. My father made the observation. It's not a discovery. It's an observation that cancerous cell is different from a healthy cell. And he made this observation whether you speak of a human cancerous cells or an animal or a plant, it's always the same thing. A cancer cells presents the two strands of the DNA, which are kind of enlarged, and that's what he called destabilized. The DNA is destabilized. So there are some big loops in between the strands of the DNA. And the strands of the DNA are so stretched that the hydrogen bonds, which are supposed to keep together the strands of the DNA, have broken.
Okay.
And what happens is once the two strands of the DNA are not kept together, the duplication hormones have direct access to the duplication sites, and then you have duplication that goes faster and faster and faster. And that's why you have those tumors, because that happen with cancer cells, because they multiply much faster than healthy cells, where the DNA is nicely kept together and contained, and the hydrogen bonds prevent the too much of a large opening of the strands of the DNA.
So how is that different than a gene that's mutated? Do we know?
So my father theory was, and that's where he was revolutionary at the time, is that cancer, of course, may result from a genetic mutation. It happens. But it happens in more or less 10% of cancer.
Oh, okay.
And why do we see an explosion of cancer now? It's because there is something else than genetic. And that something else is the pollution of the world in which we live. And those pollutants, many of them are carcinogenics, and they destabilize the DNA slowly but surely. It's kind of cumulative process, long and cumulative process. So when you are young, you are doing okay. But when you get older and you have been exposed to those carcinogens day in and day out, well, you know, in your 50s, 60s, you start to develop cancer. And that's what happened to so many people.
So it's interesting because, so you talked about how it's, like a long process of this DNA becoming destabilized. So we have these pollutants and toxins in our natural environment, or non-natural environment where we're exposed to EMF and all this kind of stuff. And so as a result, do the bonds between that are the hydrogen bonds become weaker and weaker and weaker, or do they just break apart and it happens suddenly, but slowly? How is that process? Do we even know that?
Yeah. So my father made the observation that they are stretched and that to the point, at some point they break.
Oh, okay. And so I would imagine that certain things would stretch more strongly depending on how toxic it is versus other things which would be a mild.
Exactly. So something very strong would have, you know, a faster effect at destabilizing the DNA.
Interesting.
And some products are, you know, very mild. Carcinogenic, have a very mild carcinogenic effect. So you can be actually exposed for a longer time before developing a disease.
That's so interesting.
And that's why it is so difficult sometimes in environmental medicine to find out what is the cause, because the cause has been mild and present for years and years and years. And there may have been, you know, multiple causes. And it is that after many years of mild exposure that your DNA is just saying, guys, I have enough. And have reached my breaking point.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And also, too, that, you know, your tolerable limit, just like with alcohol or something, you may be able to take 5 drinks of alcohol, whereas I can only take 2. But that's the result of other toxins I'm exposed to and other environmental things in the health of my liver. So what may break the hydrogen bonds for you may be a little bit different for me, or maybe a less or more of that same thing. So it's pretty complex, isn't it?
And how much of the toxins are you, having in your environment through the ways, through the means? Mm-hmm. What is your lifestyle? What also is your genetic? Some of us come stronger and are weaker than others, unfortunately.
Yeah. And so I'm really curious for people. Okay. So for those who don't know, we interviewed Sylvie a few years ago on episode 642. So you guys can check out that episode and I'll put a link to it down below as well. But at that time, I hadn't read the book Cancer's Cause, Cancer's Cure, or Winning the War on Cancer. So I wasn't as well versed in the work of Dr. Beljansky. But I'm really curious for people that don't know, when these substances, so your father was able to discover 3 or 4 compounds or molecules that seem to be able to stop the destabilization. Can you explain a little bit about how they work?
Yeah, sure. So my father.
Hey guys, I hope you're enjoying the show so far. I wanted to tell you about sauna therapy. And I don't know if you guys do sauna therapy on a regular basis. I do. I've been doing so for 10 years. And the sauna that I love the most and have been using all this time is the Relax Far Infrared Sauna. And what I love about the sauna is that, A, it's cost effective. It doesn't cost $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 like most other saunas. It's portable, which means if you have a tight space, you can store it underneath your bed. After each use, you can put it in the closet, or you can even loan it to a friend. It's very low EMF. It uses uses far infrared light, though, which helps to increase circulation, increase cardiovascular output, increase heat shock proteins, which has a direct effect on immune cell function. It also helps improving lymphatic drainage and, most importantly, sweating out toxins that you're exposed to on a daily basis. This is by far my favorite health piece of equipment I have in my home. I'll put a link to it on today's show page or on our store, biochargeme.com.
Really was a PhD in molecular biology, and he was really a specialist of the DNA and the duplication of the DNA. And he came up with developing a test where he was able to measure by measuring the rate of duplication of the DNA, of cancer DNA. He was able to see if the compounds had a great cancerogenic potential. And he was, at some point, he decided, well, what if there is a perfect compound, the one that would be able to inhibit selectively the duplication of cancer DNA, but would not affect healthy DNA? Because if you destroy the duplication of healthy DNA, there is no more life.
Right. That makes sense.
You need healthy life. You need healthy DNA to continue to thrive and duplicate.
Mm-hmm.
So he was able to screen a number of molecules for that. And he found two molecules able to do just that. Paupera, which comes from South America, from a tree in South America, and then Rowolfia vomitoria, which comes from Africa. And the extracts, he said, well, if it's working indeed at the level of the DNA, if it's really specific of cancer DNA, it's going to target the DNA wherever it is, the destabilized DNA wherever it is. So he stopped thinking of cancer in terms of men, women, breast, prostate, or brain, or whatever. You are now thinking destabilized cells. So he tested his extracts when he was at the Pasteur Institute in Paris, France. He tested those two extracts against a number of cancer cell lines and, and also healthy cell lines. And he was able to confirm that those two little extracts were inhibiting again and again and again all those cancerous cell lines and have no effects on healthy cell lines. So we had now an effect on multiple cell lines, selectively on cancer cell lines, and no toxicity on healthy cell lines.
So, that's interesting. So what is it doing to the destabilized DNA? Is it reconnecting those hydrogen bonds or just preventing them from replicating?
No, it is inducing apoptosis. It is really inducing the death of those cancerous cells. They cannot duplicate and they die.
Wow, that's so interesting. So my question is, how did he find, your father must have just been working around the clock, and you talk about this in your book, where you're just so frustrated with him and your mom because all they were doing was working in their labs whole childhood.
When I was a little girl, I could not understand how fascinating and absorbing important their work was. So I was kind of infuriated and frustrated to be, you know, to grow up by myself, mostly.
Yeah. But how did he find all these? I mean, it's like a needle in a haystack kind of a situation, right?
At the time, there was, my father was, the circumstance was if there was a compound of an extract of Rowolfia vomitoria, which was very controversial, commercial preparation, which was very controversial. And because it was controversial, he decided to study it. And he found that this Rowolfia extract, which was marketed by another company, a pharmaceutical company, had two compounds in it, one which was carcinogenic and one which was not carcinogenic.
And he
decided to purify the extract, the Ranvolfia extract from the alstonin, which is the main compound, the main alkaloid of Ranvolfia vomitoria, and have less of quantity of extract, but an extract which was, would only have alstonin. And this alstonin is only fighting cancer cells. That's all what it is doing. But it is such a messy and expensive process to purify Ranvolfia that he said, okay, this alstonin is a very specific molecule. Can I find another molecule that would be similar, at least in shape, to alstonin? And that's how, just checking through literature, he found this molecule called the flavopiperine, which is very similar in shape from alstonin, just smaller. And then the next question was, where do I find flavopiperine? And that led him to the Amazon rainforest and finding this tree, Pau Pereira, whose bark contains the flavopiperine. And the flavopiperine indeed is also very selective, fighting cancerous cells, but not healthy cells. And because it is smaller than alstonin, actually, it will be able to cross the blood-brain barrier and fight also glioblastoma cancer cells, which alstonin is not able to do.
Wow, that's so interesting. And the fact that your father was able to find this information, I mean, the conversations, you probably remember them growing up between he and your mother, when they discover stuff like this around the dinner table, must have just been pretty enlightening.
Well, I have I'm ashamed to say, but it was sometimes going far above my head as a little girl. And I just did not really be part of that. It's only when I grew up, I mean, thinking that I did not want actually to get involved into science and into what they were doing. It was just too heavy. They were just too never smiling. They were just kind of obsessed with their work. And that's not what I wanted to have for my life or growing up. It's only as an adult that I started to understand how important and beautiful this research was. And when my father passed away, so many people came to me to say, you know, without your father, I would not have been able to attend my father's wedding, my daughter's wedding. I would not have been able to see my grandchildren. I would not have been. So then you realize that you make a difference really in so many people's lives and start to respect, have the utmost respect for this research. Then you try to understand. And then I said, once, you know, started to understand the importance of it, I said, this cannot disappear. This should not disappear. And the only way to carry on once after my father's passing was to create this non-for-profit organization here in New York City, the Beljanski Foundation. And I did not have a lab to continue. So we started to have partnerships with academic institutions to carry on with some various research programs, which have come to confirm my father's work. And you were asking about the mechanism of action beyond apoptosis that my father documented. There has been other mechanism of action, like regulation of P53, regulation of NF-kappa B, autophagy, all those things that now have come to light, that my father could not, you know, had no time or did not have the technology at the time to study. And now that there are new new research team working on those extracts and all those synergistic mechanism of action come to light with those extracts.
It's amazing. Yeah. So we talked a little bit about Palpura and Rolfia vomitoria, but then the other extract that he discovered was the ginkgo, but it's specifically the yellow ginkgo. What does that do?
So this one is made just exclusively of golden leaves that are matured in the fall. And the change of color is actually a translation of the change of chemistry of the leaves.
Okay.
And what the extract is doing, it's not about the blood and the memory. It is about regulating the enzymes of the liver, preventing skin fibrosis. Mm-hmm. And the recent research that we have done is showing that the golden ginkgo extracts inhibits angiogenin. Angiogenin is that enzyme of the liver that helps cancer cells create new blood vessels. And cancer cells need new blood vessels to bring additional nutrients to them because they need a lot of energy to grow and, and to multiply very fast. So they create all those blood vessels to be able to feed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, prevent angiogenin, it's a way to starve cancer cells.
Wow. So that's starving it. And then the other ones are preventing the replication and repairing the hydrogen bonds.
Exactly.
That's so interesting. Now, do you ever get yourself, because there's a lot of, and you talk about this in your book, where there's a lot of resistance from not just people in medical establishments trying to do studies on this stuff, but actually sourcing the materials itself. And then you have the resistance of the pharmaceutical industry and stuff like that. It must be an uphill battle, but it must feel really good to do the work that you did, because if you weren't doing what you're doing, I mean, they would have just erased all of your dad's research.
Absolutely.
Have you guys heard about systemic enzyme therapy or proteolytic enzymes? This is my secret weapon for battling inflammation. And we had a guest a long time ago, Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, who is using high-dose proteolytic enzymes on late-stage pancreatic cancer patients with great success. Serrapeptase is derived from the same bacteria that the Japanese silkworm uses to dissolve its own cocoon. And these are, from Mitolife, enteric-coated serrapeptase and natokinase. The main method of action is to dissolve necrotic debris in the blood that shouldn't be there, sort of like Pac-Man, going all throughout your blood and eating things up like scar tissue, fibrin, fibrosis, calcification, fibrinogen. And this takes a massive burden off your liver and your white blood cells. It can be used with anything that's inflammatory to lower inflammation, anything that ends in an itis or osis. You can even use it topically with DMSO. I've done that before with great success. This stuff is amazing. It's called Dissolve It All, and you can find it on biochargeme.com under the MitoLife section. And our code EHR15 will get you a 15% discount.
Absolutely. And that's why it is so important to continue. And I'm very, very grateful for the United States of America to have given me the opportunity to carry on. I have to say that those research programs, the foundation has always been very well received. Here we have been able to work with Columbia University, with Kansas University Medical Center. We also had a clinical trial in the past at Cancer Treatment Centers of America on little RNA fragments, which help people undergoing chemotherapy with their white blood cells and their leukocytes. Those things would have never been possible in France because of, political opposition to my father's name. And here, because the name was not known, there was no opposition. It was just about the science. And when the scientists are looking with an open mind to my father's publications and results, they all say, wow, that's amazing. Let's do something about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting in your book, because I didn't know from reading Cancer's Cause, Cancer's Cure, Dr. Walker doesn't get into this, but in your book, you talked about how, your father was able to help the president of France at the time with his, I think prostate cancer and overcome that. But then his political oppositions, as soon as, the president died, then they started really giving you a lot of resistance. And so it became super political, right?
Yeah, for my father, you know, a prostate was a prostate. Even if it belongs to the president, it's just a patient that needs help. but there is a lot. I mean, you could, just cannot ignore the political wealth when it is the president's prostate and giving, you know, the president 2 or 3 more years to finish his second term. That changed the political landscape of France for many years to come. And then, of course, there was a serious, serious backlash. And my father was not at all politically connected, so he was not ready for the backlash. And he was just slaughtered.
Yeah, it's amazing. So if anyone wants more details, it's just a fascinating story of how all that went down. Check out the book, Winning the War on Cancer. I'll link it up down below. But, when all of that happened and your father, passed, and then you decided to take on his work through a series of circumstances, you had some real issues. And reading through how you went to South America and Brazil and the Amazon to source some of these materials, it's just, oh my goodness, what you had to go through to do that was amazing.
Well, thank you. Yes, I was, MME3 requested a lot of commitment, and I was young and determined. But I have to say that I could never have done it alone, and I have been supported by a lot of people in many, many, many ways, both in France and in the US. It has always been a team effort. Even if I have been the face of it, I have benefited of and a lot of lucky encounters also that made the entire thing possible.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's different. Although we don't focus on cancer for our radio show, it is a subject that we talk about quite often. Whereas that's your focus, but we still get so many messages from people about how they were able, you know, like I'd give them some advice and their health turns around or somebody's condition reversed, and it makes you feel so good. And so for you, you must have that to help keep you going as well, right?
Oh, yes. I mean, that has made my life so much more meaningful. I mean, I worked hard to go to law school and then just to give it up after a few years. And at the beginning, it was a heartbreak to have worked so hard for what I thought was my calling and just to give it up. But what I feel privileged actually to be able to do what I am doing and to run the Beljanski Foundation. And every time we have a new scientific paper that comes to bring together this wealth of knowledge that I wanted to make available to everybody. That was really my goal, to share this wealth of knowledge, because I think that if it's not shared, it's very fragile. It's what makes it strong is that the fact it is shared, it is available. All the publications, my father's publications, all the publications obtained through the Beljanski Foundations are available through the Beljanski Foundation website, and people now can, you know, download a publication, come to their doctor and say, doctor, the synergy of action has been between chemotherapy and those little RNA fragments is documented. There has been a clinical trial. Here is the publication. Why do you think I shouldn't, why are you saying I should not take anything with my chemotherapy? Because I do believe this should help me.
Mm-hmm. Now, what people don't realize is that I think your dad has over 133 papers that are scientific papers. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Peer-reviewed papers. Absolutely.
Peer-reviewed.
He started to publish in French, and then he was barred by the director of the Pasteur Institute to continue to publish. So he moved to English and published in English in American papers, which turned out actually to be a blessing because now when I go to those American universities, they can access the second part of my father's publication.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like everything comes for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking to that a little bit, when I was reading the story of how you initially found out your father was arrested and your mom as well, maybe the fact that your connections as a lawyer, was able to get this thing off the ground and get started in the direction you were going to take it, you know?
Well, my first thing, of course, was to, help them organize their legal defense and try to fight in court. What I found is that they did not want to give my father a day for his trial. They just arrested him, and they did not want to allow him to present a defense in court. They never gave him his day in court to clear his name. So my father died with having a judgment day. So they prevented him to publish, to speak to journalists, to have access to a lab, to of course to travel, to go to scientific colloques. All those things, I mean, was taken away from him, and he never had a chance to explain it himself before a judge. So I took the case to the European Court of Human Rights. We won an unanimous case before the Court of Human Rights. But that was, you know, too late for my father to see. And I felt once we have won, I felt that was not actually the most important. The most important was the research and salvaging this knowledge.
Mm-hmm. My goodness. I mean, that story is just, is unbelievable when you read in your book about how all that happened. And, so now it's my understanding that when your father, was arrested, he was put on house arrest and they took away every supplement. They just basically ransacked the house and didn't allow him to take his own medication, right? Or
the house, the lab, everything. And then they spread the lab and they told him to stay in the lab for, overnight, that it was too late to present him to the judge, which is contrary to the normal due process in France. You are supposed to take somebody directly in front of, before the judge. And, they said, it's too late. We'll do that tomorrow. Stay here. And 2 months later, he was diagnosed with advanced stage 4 leukemia.
Wow. And he wasn't even allowed to take his own supplements, was he?
There was no more. They had just taken everything away.
That's so crazy. Now, when this all happened, so for me, I started waking up to cancer and the industry of cancer back in 95 when my mom was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I realized maybe about 6-7 years after that, in 95, I was 20 years old. So I don't know, mid-20s, I started realizing like this whole cancer thing, something's fishy with it, especially watching my mom go through all of that treatment and what it did to her. And then you start realizing there's an industry behind this. It's like a brand name. And you think like they've invested a lot of fear and power into the word cancer. When did that start happening for you? Like when your father passed or before that?
I saw my father dying of cancer with little help, I have to say, from traditional, conventional treatments. They gave him some transfusions, but that's basically what it was. And it's, I always felt, I mean, that there was a, the patients were not supported the way they need, actually needed. And there was a need for much more humanity, for much more listening, for much more support, and for a non-toxic approach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Most definitely. And, wow. So now when you started the Beljansky Foundation, which was not long after, when you decided to, you know, move and change careers, did you get a lot of, I guess it was really difficult when you describe in the book about, you know, getting a lot of resistance and you had to figure out a way to, source the materials, how to, you know, synergize them and get the lab and all that stuff. It was, quite an uphill battle, wasn't it? To say the least.
It was. I mean, several years where everything was a little bit heavy. I had to start from scratch, basically.
So methylene blue is quickly becoming one of my favorite tools to use my overall health strategy and immune system strengthening. It's an amazing substance. It was first put together in 1876 by a German scientist and chemist named Hendrik Caro. Later, it was used in the treatment of malaria by Paul Gutmann and Paul Ehrlich in 1891. But then later, it was synthesized into a popular drug that we can't talk about today, starting an I and ending an N. So what I love about it, though, is that it is an electron donor, electron acceptor, and an electron recycler. It helps to change the conformation of hemoglobin in the red blood cells so the hemoglobin can carry more oxygen to every single tissue in your body. And it also helps to clean up senescent cells. It increases mitochondrial biogenesis, increasing ATP production. It works as a monoamine oxidase inhibitor, increasing dopamine and serotonin. It's a nootropic. It's antimicrobial. It's an antidepressant. It's antioxidant. And therefore, it's neuroprotective. And I like the company Lifeblood because it is a liquid tincture. And I usually use a small amount, like one or two drops per day. But then if I have some health challenge going on, like a cold or flu, I might do 20 to 30 drops in 1 ounce water 3 times a day. So I'll go heavy on the methylene blue. But what I also like is you can nebulize it too and get it into your lung tissue, or you could use it topically on your skin, although it will stain your skin. If this is interesting to you, check out the book called The Ultimate Guide to Methylene Blue by Mark Sloan. It'll blow your mind. Or you can listen to episode 731 by Adam Marafiotti from Lifeblood. So check out Methylene Blue, add it to your stack on today's show page or in our store, biochargemeat.com, and the code EHR10 will get you a 10% discount.
And I had thousands of people in France who wanted the products desperately. But I have to say that they also gave me a lot of support, and I felt I could not fail them because they put so much trust in me. That I could not fail them. I had to make it work one way or another. And I have received, once again, America has been very, very good to me and, very, they did not believe really in me. This, I was young, but my English was terrible and, but, since there was always something that intrigued them and they gave me a chance. And that's what all I needed.
That's so cool. Do you think that in the same way that your father was able to isolate and discover those three molecules, along with the, we didn't even get to talk about the T yet or the RNA fragments, but do you think there are other compounds or molecules out there that we just haven't discovered yet that would be as effective, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm sure, I mean, we have not at the end of discoveries. I'm sure that my father tested a lot of molecules and he focused on those which seem to be have the most of potential, the best potential to fight cancer. But he has only tested what he could test. I mean, so maybe he has tested 200-300 molecules, according to my mother, but definitely not thousands and thousands. I'm sure there are other, as a great molecules still to be discovered, just like there are other galaxies and other suns. And maybe, you know, we know that we don't know a lot of things. That's all we can say.
Yeah. And so there's, as you can imagine with our show, we've been doing our show for 10 years now, and we get exposed to a lot of different things that are, cancer, you know, like IP6 and, all kinds of different things. You know, Halon therapy, Halon 951. There's all kinds of different things. And, I don't understand all the mechanisms of action on those things, but, the mechanism of action seems to make sense, especially when you get down to the DNA level of what these molecules can do. Do you know about some of these other things, or do you spend any time looking at them, or what's your approach to the other?
I know of those things. I had absolutely no time to study in details how they work and compare their efficacy to what my father was doing.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense because there's only so much time in the day. And, you know, we spoke with a doctor, Nicholas Gonzalez, years ago, and he uses, or he used to use, systemic enzyme, proteolytic enzymes to break down the cancer itself. But it seems like it's interesting that you have a lot of different ways to approach, you know, the cancer cell. You have what you're doing, which is, you know, preventing the destabilized DNA from replication. And then you have the ability to eat away at the cancer cells with systemic enzymes. And so it's just fascinating to me that in the natural health space that we're in, we can look at these things with all these different angles, and different people can focus on different areas. But in the medical approach, you know, there's the three things. There's the chemo, radiation, and surgery, and maybe a stem cell transplant or something. And that's pretty much it. And if you don't do those things, not everything else is quackery, right, to them.
Yes. And in fact, I mean, there are a number of things which are, you know, scientifically documented. It's not because it's not embraced by conventional medicine that it doesn't have, it's not working, or that it does, should not have its place in the array of treatments somebody is considering. You may be, you know, more responsive individually. Your body may be more responsive to one thing, to another. It depends of a lot of things of your environment. And I think it is fair to address the disease, which can come from many reasons. It should be addressed in many ways. Together. And it would be nonsense, for example, to say, well, I'm not going to do, to change my diet, for example, because I am taking those capsules, or, or the opposite. I mean, you want to do multiple things that can be beneficial.
Yeah. And it makes a lot of sense to approach it that way, because there are multiple things that cause the DNA to become destabilized, right? And in your book, you talked about, this is really cool, I'm glad you brought this up, is how it was around the chapter where you talked about your own heavy metal toxicity during this time. And you talked about the worry and the fear of what that meant to you. And that worry and fear can also cause the DNA to become destabilized.
Absolutely.
Is that right? Yeah.
Stress triggers a cascade of physiological answers that act like a destabilizer of the DNA. Absolutely. And that has been also very well documented. But what is interesting with stress is that it's not so much stress itself. It is the way we cope with stress, which really matters. So some people will remain very zen and we know how to cope with stress, and they are not going to be affected so much as somebody with the same stress factor. Let's say, for example, the death of somebody close. I mean, some people will freak out and will start to develop breast cancer. It is very, very common to see women develop breast cancer a few years after the passing of their husband, for example. But for some others, they will know how to cope with the stress, and they develop the proper mechanism of action to protection.
Right.
At the level of the DNA, and will not become sick. And this has been done, studied by epidemiologists on large number of women. And for example, there was a study which was done a few years ago on women in their 40s and women in their 70s. And those in their 70s, as the study was a little bit, I mean, like 20 or 30 years ago. So the women in their 70s had known the war, been through the war during their childhood, and they were much less susceptible to the side effects of stress and develop cancer than younger women who were not tough cookies.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you get a lot of people that approach you or learn about your work and they tell you what you said before, where they said, well, I'm not going to change my diet because I'm taking these pills? Do people really think like that?
Actually, I remember a few years ago, people who would not stop smoking. Yeah. Because I'm taking the pill. So if the pill's working, why should I stop smoking? I had also a kind of nasty exchange to somebody. I remember who was a brain cancer, was taking the supplements, and I saw him open a Coke, Diet Coke. I told him, you know, that's not the best. I mean, this is full of chemicals. And he became very, very angry at me and said, well, you know, that's what I enjoy in life. And, yeah. Well, you know, just, it's your life. It's your life. But, I'm just telling you, this is full of chemicals and fake sugar and all those things, which are not good for you. And he was very, adamant that, it was none of my business, but he was taking the pills.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Now, let's touch a little bit on, before we get to some of the Patreon questions, we have like 7 or 8 Patreon questions from our private community. But before we get to those questions, I'm curious about we didn't really talk too much about the Oncotest. Maybe we do that next time, but we can talk. I want to know about the RNA fragments and what those are, as well as the T that you have as well.
Sure. So the RNA fragments are specific of the DNA of the bone marrow, help the bone marrow duplicate, bone marrow DNA duplicate faster. And what the bone marrow is doing is to create all the white blood cells and platelets.
Okay.
I mean, all the blood cells, but most importantly, the white blood cells and platelets. So those cells are very often destroyed by chemotherapy as a casualty of the chemotherapy. Of course, the goal of chemotherapy is not to destroy the white blood cells and platelets, but they are destroyed because chemotherapy is not selective in its action. So what we are able to do is to replenish, to protect the bone marrow and replenish the number of white blood cells and platelets in a physiological way without exhaustion of the bone marrow.
Okay, so would RNA fragments be something that someone would do only if they're doing chemo, or they could do that in prevention, or if they're doing a 100% natural approach?
So if you have a decent number of white blood cells and platelets, you don't need the RNA fragments. It's only if you have a low number of those. But chemo is definitely a good reason why you would have a very low number. But you can also have a low number after viral infection. And we currently have a clinical trial going on for patients suffering with long COVID.
Okay.
And they have very often also a low number of platelets, and they are depressed because they are tired and depressed. And okay. What we know also is that platelets store about 97% of serotonin, which is the hormone that make us feel good and happy. And so if you destroy the platelets, you have a patient who is getting depressed and exhausted. Mm-hmm. And so you are solving all those problems at once if you replenish the number of platelets.
That's interesting. Yeah, that makes sense. And what about the tea that you have as well? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So I had no idea my father had worked on tea, on teas, until I found a piece of paper wow. with his handwriting. 20 years after his passing, there was some garage which was emptied, and a box of papers was sent to me. And there was this piece of paper where the numbers of 40, name of 40s, and next to that, Vere, Vere, Anti-C. That's what
What did it say?
Vere, Vere, Anti-C. C.
Wow. What does that mean? Okay.
Okay. Knowing my father, C was probably cancer.
Okay.
So I have the name of 40s, and I know they are very, very anti-cancer. What does it mean, very, very anti-cancer? What kind of testing has he done to get there? I had no idea. So we sourced this tea, organic tea, and we sent that to Kansas University Medical Center to compare with other teas like Green Lipton, Green Bigelow, Green Kusmi. And we asked Kansas University to compare the effectiveness of all those teas to destroy, which started with breast cancer cells.
Quick question. Do you guys know what the smallest antioxidant in the known universe is? It's actually molecular hydrogen. It's 400 times smaller than vitamin C, 700 times smaller than CoQ10. Because of that, it has the ability to permeate every cell and tissue in the body, even down to the DNA itself. It's a really cool paper called Molecular Hydrogen, a Preventative and Therapeutic Medical Gas for Various Diseases, 2017. By Min Yang. He says here, recently, H2 has emerged as a novel medical gas with potentially broad applications. Dole et al. First reported the therapeutic effects of H2 all the way back in 1975 in squamous cell carcinoma mouse model. Crazy. Further along, it says studies have also shown that H2 improves lung injuries induced by many other factors, smoke inhalation, lipopolysaccharides, paraquat, monocrotaline, extensive burns, etc. And then it says here in 2013, a study showed that pretreatment helped with cigarette-induced lung damage from airway mucus production and airway epithelium damage in rats. So this is really an amazing tool. I use the AquaCure. I drink about 64 ounces of molecular hydrogen-infused water per day. I breathe it while I work. It's an amazing, amazing device. I highly recommend it. Check it out on today's show page or learn more at our store, biochargeme.com.
The mix of teas that was coming out of those 40s that my father had named was much more effective than the other teas at destroying cancer cells of the breast. And then we moved on with colon, with liver, with bladder. And wow. every time the mix of teas was doing a much better job at destroying cancerous cells than the other teas.
Wow, that's amazing. Do you think that if you were to go back and look through all of the information, like the handwritten notes and stuff like that, there must have been things that your father researched? And you know how when you do online research, you kind of think, okay, I'm going to save this tab because I want to get to it later, kind of a thing. And like, oh, there's something really cool on this website, I'll save that tab for later. your father must have had a bunch of stuff like that where he had a bunch of things that looked very promising, but had to focus on those four things that he eventually focused on. But there's got to be other things that he kind of tagged or saved for later, right?
Yeah. So his latest publication was not so much about products, but about a reflection on the DNA, how the DNA duplication, the role of the RNA and so on, led him to a reflection on the sense of evolution.
Okay.
And his last years were more less about products and more about understanding the mechanism of DNA duplication and human evolution of the species.
So interesting. Gosh, man, he must have just loved his work, right?
No, he was passionate. There was no room for anything else. That was a problem.
Why do you think he was that way?
I think he was struck by the enormity of what he had stumbled on, and he was afraid that his life was going to be too short. How long it would be, I mean, whatever it would be, it still would be always too short for everything he wanted to study.
You must feel the same way, and you must feel honored to continue his work, right?
That's why I think I understand how he felt, and I'm just proud and happy now to be part of this.
So cool. All right, one final question before we get to the Patreon questions for you. Now we know, you and I both know, that there's, you know, an existing power structure that's set up to, you know, prevent talks like this and to prevent solutions like this. Are you constantly, I'm sure you've set yourself up from a legal perspective, since you're a lawyer, to be sort of a little bit more protected from the powers that be. From that perspective, how are things going, and do you see things changing, and what's the resistance like?
So I would say first that the United States is kind of paradise compared to some other countries. Wow. There is just the legal aspect of things, and the fact that you can file new dietary ingredients, even very few players in the industry are doing it. I mean, that's the first thing I did. I mean, filing as new dietary ingredient. Once you have done that with the FDA, you can legally do research on those compounds.
Wow.
That's okay. That's really written in the law here, defining DSHEA, defining the law applicable to dietary supplements.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing I did. Then you have to be very clear that you cannot make claims on products, and that they are going to treat, prevent, or diagnose any disease. You just cannot do that. So I'm being always very careful. For example, today, I just speak on behalf of the foundation, on behalf of the research of the foundation, and I speak about plant extracts. I did not give you, a commercial speech about a commercial brand and tell you to buy this brand to cure cancer. I would not do that. So you have to you have to understand those limits to commercial free speech, and you have to respect them. But if you do, I mean, I am the living proof that for the past over 20 years, I have spoken freely about my father's research. I have written a book about my father's research. I continue the research. I give lectures, and nothing bad has happened to me.
Yeah, no, and it's, I think it's a, yeah, knock on wood, right? It's a good thing to sort of frame it in the way like you do, where some of these acts seem to have a potential healing property to the DNA. And then the DNA may be responsible for extra cell growth. And so people can kind of take that for what it's, you know, sort of read between the lines. But what we're essentially doing is allowing the body to utilize some molecules to be able to repair the DNA. And that's really it. And then where it goes from there, your body decides, right?
Well, my job, I believe, is a kind of educational thing to carry on with the research and make the research available to as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. And then it is people who are interested can download those scientific papers and have a discussion with their doctors and make the choices which seems right to them. Mm-hmm. I am not a doctor. I do not make medical recommendation or give medical advice.
Yeah, exactly. Good stuff. Okay, so I think what we'll do now is we have a series of questions. For those that don't know, we have a private Patreon community where people can submit their questions and they can hear the answers as well. So we have about 8 or 9 questions for you that our community asks. And so at this point, we'll sort of break free from the free podcast, and this will be available only to Patreon members only. And we get into, or the questions are, just to give people a rundown, what is the best way to test for extra cell growth? What causes destabilization? What would help with breast cancer? Can I take chemo and radiation along with these supplements? The difference between golden leaf, ginkgo, and green leaf? A question about skin cancer topicals, and another question about colon cancer. So we'll just break it right there and we'll be right back. So now let's get to the first one. What is the best way to test for extra cells? This person recommended the Navarro urine test. Have you heard about that?
I know that there are several tests out there and several blood tests. And if you are looking for cancer, I think now it is currently the blood test that starts. But every day we can do our part and be vigilant with our lifestyle and the choices that we make.
All right, there you guys go. Episode 764 with Sylvie Beljanski. And I thought that was awesome. I thought that was amazing. And I would really recommend you check out her book, Winning the War on Cancer. But if you're watching the free version of this video, we talked about the best cancer test, what causes destabilization, and is there a way to rank that? And breast cancer, we talked about that. We also talked about, can you take these supplements with chemo and with radiation, which I think is a really important subject, because a lot of times people are scared to go 100% natural if they get a diagnosis, right? And just completely walk away from chemotherapy and radiation. And some people want to do that because they're fearful. And can you take these supplements and what do they do? And how do you talk to your doctor about that? So we talked about that. And Evangeline asked the difference between the golden leaf and the green leaf ginkgo, and why it matters. And then we talked about skin cancer topicals, and can you use them with conventional or Beljanski products as well? And then we also talked about colon cancer. Charles's father was just diagnosed and he's open to new or any kind of new ideas. And so he's fearful and wants to know more about the substances we talked about in today's show. And then I also talked with her about prevention. Like, what is a good yearly preventative protocol if you're someone who has had cancer and now you're cancer free, or you just don't want to get it? What do you do on a yearly protocol, and what supplements are recommended for that? And then we also talked about working with a practitioner. So, you know, can you call them up and find someone who will help steer you through all this stuff? So in the bonus section for the Patreon members, we also talked about how stem cells, and how these substances have the, can have an effect on stem cells. So I'm always just so, I got to word things so carefully with this stuff because like I mentioned in the show, cancer is just such a branded word, right? It's, there's so much invested. It's a brand name for really, it's just a brand name. And so like you really have to extract the fear out of that word and just look at it as a word. But, you know, it matters a lot to the industry of cancer when you use their brand name. Cancer is like Coke, right? It's like a trademarked term that is worth trillions and trillions of dollars. That is cancer, the word cancer. And so, when someone gets chemotherapy and radiation, it may sort of dissipate the physical markers of tumors. And the way that Dr. Richard Massey, who was on our show years ago, he's a former medical doctor, anesthesiologist that woke up and saw the light and now is treating people. He's not treating people, but he's working with people in a natural perspective. But the way he described it was, if you imagine being in a bar and there's a fight that breaks out in the bar, right? And then the fight goes outside and, you know, the two guys are fighting. And then all of a sudden there's like 20 people and then there's 30 people. And then there's a group of 50 people watching this fight go down, right? And so in that scenario, the cancer stem cells are the two guys that are fighting. But the cancer itself is all the people that may be blocking the sidewalk in front of the bar from people going by, or maybe the fight is in the middle of a street and now cars can't go by, right? And the society doesn't work right because you have this cancerous sort of situation happening. And when you take chemotherapy and radiation, what that seems to be able to do is to shrink or to get rid of the people that are watching the fight. That is the physical markers, the actual tumor itself, but it doesn't do anything to the stem cells of cancer and the reason why the two guys are fighting to begin with. And it doesn't do anything to those guys. And what it seems to do, according to Dr. Massey, is it makes the stem cells even angrier. And that's why whenever you see someone going through conventional treatments, a lot of times they'll try chemotherapy radiation, it seems to diminish the tumor size and they're declared cancer free. And then 5.5 years later, they're diagnosed again. And so they try the same treatment, but the same treatment doesn't have any effect on the cancer. And it seems to proliferate wildly and exponentially and be a lot more aggressive the second time around. And the reason why is because you have the two guys that are fighting that are the cancer stem cells, but also what if you healed the relationship between the two guys? And then what if you healed the relationship between the two guys and the bar itself? You know? And so when you work on a deeper level like that, you can really get to the root cause on a physical, emotional, spiritual level of cancer and why it destabilizes the DNA. And I do believe that there is something to the effect of taking molecular hydrogen and allowing that hydrogen to be utilized, because hydrogen is the world's smallest antioxidant. I believe it's like 400 times smaller than vitamin C and 700 times smaller than CoQ10. And hydrogen does have the ability to repair DNA. We know that. And so there may be a synergistic comparison or complementary aspect of using hydrogen along with some of this stuff. And you can go into Molecular Hydrogen Institute and look at over 1,000 different studies on various types of cancer with hydrogen. So maybe it's helping to restabilize that hydrogen bond of the DNA. So I find it all to be really fascinating. And something that we didn't talk about really was that this idea of destabilization. Right. And so chemicals, pesticides, heavy metals, stress, non-native EMF, blue light, dirty electricity, Wi-Fi, smartphones, routers, all of these things are going to have an effect on not just the voltage of the cell membrane, which causes more permeability and allowing things like calcium and iron to get inside the cell where it doesn't belong, but a destabilization effect on the DNA. And so whenever you're exposed to these chemicals and stuff like that, it does have an effect. And so This is just really fascinating because it really kind of connects a lot of dots for me, because we all know that cancers are, toxins and chemicals are poison and stuff like that, but we don't understand why and what they do and how it, causes cancer and stuff. But I do know that since the 1960s, we have an additional 60,000 new chemicals that have been introduced into our environment. And I believe there's over 84,000 chemicals that are in commerce right now. And so whenever you buy something, it's going to be loaded with chemicals. And so the thing that we don't know is they may say, oh, this XYZ chemical doesn't really cause any issues. But how do we know when you combine chemical 612 with chemical 792? Or let's say you have super high levels of chemical 612 and super high levels of chemical 792, right? So like, what's the synergistic mode of action on the DNA of those two high or chemicals in high amounts? So all of these things we don't know. We have these synergistic combination of these things, right? But then we also have, the sheer amount that we're exposed to. So, and then you combine that with all of the things that are going on inside the body. Like, is your liver healthy? Are you exposed to non-native EMF? What's your colon health like? Do you have enzymes? Have you had the sharp thing? All kinds of things play a role in somebody's body breaking down a little bit more quickly. And I would love to learn more. I don't know about you, but I would love to learn more about this destabilization, because the way she described it was really interesting, where it's almost like something is pulling and pulling and pulling, and you pull a rope long enough or a rubber band long enough, and eventually it snaps, right? So I'm really curious about that. Like, that would be something really fascinating for me to study, because if you could sort of quantify that and extrapolate that out in terms of a general approach to understanding that, then you could really start saying, hey, this particular toxin or chemical is one that you really want to stay away from, because in 100% of humans, it has this effect, But, it is only 2023. We have a very crude elementary understanding of all this stuff due to the inability for us to get funding to do real proper scientific testing. That's really the problem, right? Because, the pharmaceutical industry doesn't want to test this stuff because, if we did, we can prevent, cancer, and, God forbid we should ever do that. And so that goes into a whole rabbit trail, that goes on forever and ever and ever. But suffice it to say, I get a lot of questions, people asking me, hey, my brother was just diagnosed with XYZ glioblastoma, or, typically with glioblastomas, I would always recommend, essential oils for that. We had a couple people on our show talk about the ketogenic diet, frankincense oil, and then, anti-neoplastons from Dr. Brzezinski's clinic down in Houston, Texas. And so the combination of that, but when I'm learning about these compounds, anyone diagnosed or that wants to prevent ever getting a diagnosis, in my opinion, should be on a protocol like this. And, so I'm really excited about this. It's pretty easy, but what I would caution against is, again, none of this is medical advice. We're not sharing. You should always talk with your doctor, your medical doctor, a licensed medical doctor, right? A guy with a white lab coat, with an active license, because he's the only one that can cure your cancer, right? So always talk with them. But what I found interesting is that people will continue to take toxic substances like Coke or not Coke, I should say cola, right? can't bag on a brand name. But, I would admonish you, or not admonish you, but implore you to also clean up your diet, clean up your life to the best that, that you can, and get on a yearly protocol. If you don't have any extra cells growing, get on a yearly protocol and contact them. If you're a member of the Patreon community, then you can get access to the separate video and audio of the Q&A session that we just finished. Or you can just contact Beljanski.org or Sylvie Beljanski. I'll put a link to her website as well as the foundations at extremehealthradio.com/764. But I would invite you to see and look around your life. Like, look at your cooking, your cookware, look at your carpeting, look at your sheets, or, the paints or whatever it is that you're exposed to. And, make it a goal within a calendar year to change out three or four things? Because I realize it's really difficult to change stuff out for a long time, right? Because we're busy, we've got kids, you know, life's crazy. But just pick three or four things that you can swap out to lower your risk of exposure to chemicals. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed that show. Make sure to visit our sponsors, and I'll put links to those guys at extremehealthradio.com/764, or in the show notes. If you're listening to this on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you're listening, I'll put links in the show notes to everything we talk about too. And if you want to go further, and you want to get into my research, I'm researching so many different things. Like I did a whole protocol for Patreon on skin cancer. Not medical advice, but just what I would do if something happened to me. And I've done protocols on so many different subjects, and I release them every single month. And so, like, for example, you know, this could be the end all be all for extra cells growing on the skin, right? But I've listed like probably 30 other things that you could do or try along with these substances, you know, that Dr. Beljanski talked about. So you're getting a comprehensive approach, and I link to studies. I link to where you can get this stuff. I link to, you know, where I would start first and what I would do first and for how long and the amounts. And I link to books and resources and PubMed studies and all kinds of stuff that you can share with your doctor. And so I'm doing that every single month on Patreon. So come join us on there. We also do live sessions too. We do Q&A sessions, typically on the last Thursday of every month. And so it's a lot of fun. It's a great, awesome, growing community. There's three tiers to choose from. So if you want to just do a little bit, you get to support our work and our research and radio show. And then there's more tiers to choose from as well if you want more access more quickly to the protocols. Because the protocols I'm putting together are, I do three of them a month, and the basic tier only gets one per month. The premium tier gets two, and the VIP tier gets three a month. And they're all typically updated or uploaded on the last day of the month. And then we do our Q&A sessions as well. So we have a lot of cool things. Plus you get a bunch of eBooks too. So come and join us on Patreon if you're interested. I really appreciate you listening. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing this show with anyone that you think may benefit from it. I really appreciate that. That way the word gets out and we can have autonomy over our life and our bodies, and we can heal naturally from things. And that's the goal. That's the, you know, the goal here is to provide options, true informed consent, so that you know what you're dealing with and you know what your options are without being demonized by the side right now that controls the narrative. So that's our goal. If you like what we're doing, give us a thumbs up. If you're watching on anywhere, wherever you're watching, leave us a comment, subscribe to the show, all that good stuff. Ways to support the show. You can visit our sponsors in the description below. We really appreciate that. We have our store, biochargeme.com. Lots of really cool stuff. To highlight the ozone machine there, that's the one that I just put up from Promo Life. That's the one that I currently recommend. And I love that one. And the MitoLife just released their water filtration system. And the cool thing about this is that you can pay it off in payments. So go to our store and just click over to MitoLife from our store. And it's a water under-counter water filtration system that we're going to be upgrading to very soon. So that's going to be really exciting. We currently have one right now, but we're going to be upgrading very soon to that one. So we have a lot of cool stuff on biochargeme.com, another great way to support the show. But anyway, thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. I'm just rambling on here. Appreciate you guys so much. You're amazing. And if you have any questions about anything, please just let me know. You can hit me up on Instagram, and I'll put links to that down below too. Thank you so much, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
No material on this blog is intended to suggest that you should not seek professional medical care. Always work with qualified medical professionals, even if you educate yourself in the field of live food, nutrition, and alternative medicine. I'm not a doctor, nor am I offering readers medical advice of any kind. None of the information offered here should be interpreted as a diagnosis of any disease, nor an attempt to treat or prevent any disease or condition. While information in this blog is discussed in the context of numerous conditions, it can be dangerous to take action based on any information in this blog or to start any health program without first consulting a health professional. The content found here is for informational purposes only and is in no way intended as medical advice, as a substitute for medical counseling, or as a treatment/cure for any disease or health condition, and nor should it be continued as such. Always work with a qualified healthcare professional before making any changes to your diet, prescription drug use, lifestyle, or exercise activities. This information is provided as is, and the reader/viewer assumes all risks from the use, non-use, or misuse of this information.